Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
It's one thing here at Canvas Church, we really do believe that God has an amazing plan for each and every one of your lives. And man, we're just a group of people that have come to realize that, and we want to dive further into that and get to know that plan and walk in that plan even better every single day. And so because of that, man, we've been working hard to create a place that is for everyone. We're in a series entitled For Everyone, in which we've been going through the book of Galatians. And we've been looking at this what we know as a book now is really a letter written by the great apostle Paul, written to the church in Galatia. And he wrote this letter to set some things in order. There were some things happening in this church in Galatia. There was some contention. There was some disputes. There were some things taking place. People began to look at their relationship with Jesus Christ through the filter of traditions and what things should I do and what things can't I do, which then led into other arenas such as, well, my status is this. Are we doing middle school today? All right, middle school, I'm so sorry. You can go to your class today. You don't want to hear your pastor preach. That's cool. Whatever. And so there were some things going on, and it led into other things where now it became about economic status, and some people were basing their faith and maybe their position in Christ based on their economical status, and others were talking about, well, I'm this ethnic group, and I'm this ethnic group, and then it even went into, well, I'm male, I'm female. And so Paul begins to write this letter, and he begins to set some things in order. And really, I think the whole entire book can be summed up with this verse in Galatians 3:28, where it says, there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, that's so cool because of the work of Jesus Christ, what he did, what we're celebrating today. Not just the fact that on Friday we had our Good Friday service and celebrated the fact that he went to the cross, but today we celebrate the fact that he rose from the grave. Man, because of the work of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what your economical status is, doesn't matter what ethnic group you're a part of, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. Come on, when we come together, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about Easter, and I thought, man, what should I preach for Easter? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, stay within the text. Keep going through the book of Galatians. And so I read our next portion, which I'm going to read for you today. And I really believe we're going to see the Easter story in these 10 verses that we're going to read today as Paul wrote this letter to the church at Galatia. You know, Easter to me is just a great reminder because Easter really is probably the greatest comeback story ever. It's probably the greatest turnaround story ever, isn't it? Man, it's the greatest story of hope that, man, people would think. And here's the thing. We get to see it like now through this filter. But people, when they saw Jesus go to the cross, they didn't know. Yes, he had talked about it. And yes, he had told them and had been prophesied many years ago that, man, they might try to destroy this temple. But in 3 days, he's going to resurrect it. But man, when they saw him go to the cross, they didn't know what was going to happen, really. But man, 3 days later, he rose again. And to me, it's the greatest comeback story ever, the greatest turnaround story ever, the greatest story of hope, not just because we can read it in the text, but because of what it means to us today. That because of his turnaround, because of what he did, come on, through the Easter story, because of what he did rising, come on, you and I today can rise and have a brand new life. Isn't that exciting? Really is a great turnaround story, and it means for us that we can have a turnaround story as well. And if you're a note taker, how many guys like to take notes? Anybody like to take notes? Or maybe you just have an incredible memory and you remember everything comes in those ears. Well, if you like to take notes, we have some paper notes for you. If you want paper version, you can raise your hand in the air. We'll get you the paper notes. Just keep your hand up until they get to you. If you don't want to raise your hand every single week, you can drop by the info stand and they'll be there. But how many digital people do I have in here? I have any digital people? All right, if you like digital notes, you can simply text the word app to 858-943-2221, download the app, and all of the notes are there as we jump into today's reading, we jump into today's message found in Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 11. Again, Paul writes this to the church at Galatia, and in our portion today it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is simply the good news about Jesus Christ. It's the message of Jesus. For I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached by me is not based on human thought. That's a powerful statement Paul makes right there. And it's one that we enjoy here at Canvas Church because I want you to know something. At Canvas Church, you're not going to simply get pastor's thoughts on Sunday. But we're going to give you the word every single Sunday, and we're going to do our best to tell you what the word is speaking to us in the context of today. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, hey, guys, listen. what I'm giving you, it's not just my thoughts, it's not just my ideas. I'm giving you the gospel, not based on human thought, for I did not receive it from human source. And I was not taught it, but it came by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life. I want you to just highlight that. You can either physically do it in your Bible or just in your mind. It says, for you have heard about my former way of life, the way I used to be, the way I used to live, the life that I had, that former way of life in Judaism. I persecuted God's church to an extreme degree. I tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. Another thought I want you to highlight right there. The idea that Paul, man, was given to the traditions that were passed down from generation to generation. He was zealous for those traditions. But, everybody say but. Come on, but when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles. And this, to me, Paul begins to talk about his turnaround story. Isn't it awesome? Really, this is where we begin to see maybe even the idea of Easter introduced in the letter that, man, I was like this. This was my former way of life, but then I met Jesus. But then I met him, and when I met him, everything began to change. Set apart by his grace. Revealed his son in me that I could preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I didn't see any other apostles, I love this part, except James, the Lord's brother. Come on, that's one I would want to see too, right? The brother of Jesus. Yeah, I didn't see any of the other guys, but I did hang out with the brother of Jesus. It's cool. Now, I'm not lying in what I write to you. God is my witness. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and, why can I not pronounce that word? Cilicia, thank you. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches in Christ. They simply kept hearing. Now, I want you to listen to this. They simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith. You hear that? He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy. Here's a big was in Paul's story. Paul, as he writes, takes us on this quick journey of from tradition to transformation. He says, I was doing this. I was zealous for tradition, and I gave myself to tradition. And as I gave myself that tradition, man, I thought I knew what I was doing, but then I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, man, everything in my life was transformed. There is a big was in his life, isn't there? I was like this. This is what I used to be like. And then Jesus introduced himself to me. And when I met Jesus, man, everything began to change. So much so. Listen to it. They were saying this. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy. And this is the coolest part. And they glorified God because of me. Are you with me today? Man, because of Easter, man, you and I can have a turnaround story. Because of Easter, man, we can get out of tradition from just knowing about to knowing the one. Because of Easter, our life is transformed. And because our life is transformed, check it out, other people begin to glorify God. Not a powerful thought today? Paul takes us on this quick journey in these 10 verses of going from tradition to transformation. Going from giving himself zealously to these traditions to I met Jesus, and now my life has been radically transformed. I want to talk to you the next few minutes on the idea of from tradition to transformation. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, your word is amazing. Lord, I pray in this space and in this moment, God, on this amazing Easter Sunday, that, Lord, you would communicate life to every single person in this place. That, God, you would speak through me now and help me teach this text. Lord, with everything that I do, God, I pray you would help me create an environment for people to encounter your son, Jesus, know your love, and understand the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Like many of you, probably after this service, you're going to go to brunch. Anybody going to go to brunch today? Anybody got brunch plans? Okay, a few of you. I didn't get an invite. Thanks a lot. You got dinner plans, going to hang out with some friends, going to hang out with some family maybe. Maybe go with some church people. You're going to go. Well, there was a family that was celebrating Easter brunch together, and they all got together in the house, and they began to cook the meal together. And there was a young daughter there helping out, and grandma was there, mom was there, great-grandma's there, and they're all helping out. And they're doing great-grandma's recipe for the roast. And so they're seasoning the roast, and they get it all ready, and they're about ready to stick it in the oven. Right before they stick it in the oven, they cut the end off the roast, and then they stick it in the oven. The daughter looks at her mom and says, "Mom, why do we cut off the end of the roast before we put it in the oven?" She goes, "That's just a part of the recipe. That's the way we've always done it." "Okay, but why?" And she goes, "I don't know. Go ask your grandma. That's where I got the recipe from." So she goes over to grandma and says, "Hey, grandma." She's like, "Yeah, honey. I noticed that in the recipe that we put all the seasoning on, and then we cut off the end, and then we stick it in the oven. Do you know why we do that?" And she goes, "I don't know. That's the way your great-grandma taught me to do it, and so that's the way we do it." So she goes over to great-grandma, and she says, "Hey, great-grandma." "Yeah, honey." "Hey, we did your recipe." "Oh, yeah, isn't it a great recipe?" "Yeah, it's great. We seasoned it, and then we cut the end off of it, and we stick in the oven. Great-grandma, why do we cut the end off of it?" She looks at her, and she goes, "I don't know why they cut the end off it. I cut the end off it because I had a small oven. That's the only way I could get it in." So I get in. They did this because of tradition, not knowing why they were doing it. They just got it passed down, passed down, passed down, passed down, until they were following this tradition, missing the point that the tradition that started with great-grandma way back in the day was so that she could cook the roast. But they just kept cutting off the end because, hey, that's what we're supposed to do. Missing the point that the reason great-grandma cut off the end of the roast is because the point was the roast. Are you with me? The point wasn't the cutting off of the end of the roast. You know what I realized, some, if we're not careful in our spiritual journey, that too often times we get so stuck in tradition and we miss the one that the tradition was supposed to point to. Because there's the thing, there's nothing wrong with traditions when you think about it, right? I mean, but traditions don't typically start because you're sitting around one Easter Sunday morning thinking, "You know what we need? We need a tradition." That's not why most tradition starts. It's not like you sit down and you pen out a map like, "Here, this would be a great, I saw somebody do this. Let's steal their tradition." Now, some of you, I know, you're tradition stealers. But most traditions happen because, man, we're trying to teach something. Like for those of us that have kids, and we want our kids to understand what Easter is about, and so what do? Well, let's do this to point them to Jesus. Let's do this to point them to what it's really all about. And then next year comes around, he said, "Hey, remember we did that, and that worked, so let's do it again to point them to Jesus." The problem is sometimes we continue down that path, and all of a sudden it becomes about the tradition rather than the one that the tradition was supposed to point to. Yeah, that can happen in church life. Right? I know it's happened to me in particular. There's times for me, like even when I'm on vacation. Anybody ever go on vacation? Two of you. Wow, all right. You just permanently retired or you work that much? I know sometimes I go on vacation. I remember there was particularly a season of my life where I felt guilty if I missed church. Like if I wasn't. And so when we were on vacation, it's like, "We got to find a church to go to." It's like, "We're camping in the middle of the woods. We got to go find one. The ranger station has to have, let's go," right? But I remember having an encounter one time, like, "Ben, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Church," and literally, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, "Ben, church has become a tradition for you. Man, church, listen to me, church is not the goal. Church is not the resource. Jesus is the resource." Right? Like, he's the one, he's our source, he's the point, he's the one. This is just a tool to point us to him. This is just that something we, man, there's power in it. Man, it's so good that we're here. Man, wasn't worship awesome today? Man, worship was so incredible. But listen, it's not about worship, right? Worship is here to point us to Jesus. It's not about the kids' classes that are over there. The kids' classes are there to point us to Jesus. It's not about our youth programs. Youth programs are to point people to Jesus. But so oftentimes, in our spiritual journey. And if we're not careful, then all of a sudden it becomes about the tradition. It comes about these things rather than the one it was meant to serve. Paul understands that. And Paul says, look, guys, I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've been in tradition and I've been zealous for it, but I missed the point. But then my life was radically transformed when I met Jesus Christ. And now because I met Jesus Christ, everything has changed. And I want to propose to you that today, that man, your life can be absolutely transformed today. You might have came today out of tradition and we're so glad you did. But today has the power to be more than just tradition, it has the power to be transformation in your life because of the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible even tells us that it's the traditions that we pass down that can literally make the word of God of no effect. In Mark 7, verse 13, it says, you revoke, the word revoke, to nullify or to cause to have no effect. You revoke God's word by your tradition that you have handed down. And here's why, because tradition tends to focus on the external. It tends to focus on behavioral modification, right? These traditions, and that's what was happening in the church of Galatia. There was these believers that were so stuck in doing these behaviors that, man, they could be, and all these new believers getting saved, and they're focused on Jesus, just trying to figure this out, but then all these other ones are saying, wait, you got to do this. It's like, no, that is to serve him. They're already serving him. This was just a tool. This was a thing to get you to hear. And so oftentimes tradition focuses on the external, on behavioral modification, where transformation is about the internal, about a heart transformation, a heart change. Are you with me this morning? That's what Jesus wants. Jesus doesn't want us stuck in tradition. Jesus wants us constantly experiencing transformation in our life, transformation in our heart. Listen to me, I'll be the first to tell you, you never just arrive and be like, okay, I'm fully transformed. Ask my wife, she'll tell you the truth, right? And it is a constant encountering of Jesus and a constant transformation that takes place in my life. And that's what's so great about Easter. It is finished in Jesus, but he's still finishing the work in you. It's finished in Jesus, but man, he's still finishing the work in you and in I. And I want to encourage you today that I believe that today can be an absolute transformation in your life. Let me just share with you a few thoughts on this Easter and maybe encourage you not just on Easter and in the thought of Easter, but encourage you in your spiritual journey. But Easter, to me, becomes transformation rather than tradition when I go from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. When I go from knowing about him to actually knowing him. Paul says it, man, I was zealous for the traditions. He knew the law. He knew the ways. He knew all that stuff. He even knew about Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus until the moment he encountered him. Knew a lot about him. You know, here's the thing. You can know a lot about somebody and never know them. You know, you really can. I mean, anybody ever heard of a guy named LeBron James? Just raise your hand and pretend you did. Okay, good. You know, one of the greatest basketball players ever, right? It's like, I can know a lot about, I can read, I can Google his name. I can read, I can watch SportsCenter. I can read articles. I can talk about, you know, oh yeah, he did this last night, he did that. I can know a lot about him, but that doesn't mean I know him. You ever met those people before that act like they know him because they know a lot about him? But just because I know a lot about him doesn't mean I know him. You know, that can happen to us in this spiritual journey. We can come every Sunday and we can get the text and we can hear it and we can hear it and we can hear it, but yet we can get all this information and we can know a lot about him, but yet never know him. But see, the goal of all that we're doing here is not so that you can walk away more knowledgeable. It's not that you can walk away with more content. Like, everything we're doing here is so that you would encounter him and that you would know him and that you would know that he loves you unconditionally. I want you to know him. I want you to know him. I've actually seen this happen in marriages. Anybody married in here? Yeah. Anybody want to be married in here? Raise your hand. Okay, now look around, see who has their hand raised. And hopefully all the married people raise their hand on, yeah, I want to be married, right? Because you is, so it's like, yeah, I still want to be married. I'm married and I want to be, right? I've actually seen this happen in marriages where two people, especially when they start having kids, right? And all of a sudden the focus becomes on the kids so much. And all of a sudden the spouses, they become glorified roommates, right? That's why a lot of times there's such a high divorce rate after kids leave the house. It's because they spent all their time and energy pouring into these kids. And all of a sudden the kids leave the house and they look and they're like, what's your name? Because they stopped knowing each other. That happens in our spiritual journey. Now, I want today to be a transformation for you. I want today for you to flip that switch and say, you know what? I'm not coming to church. See, church is tradition when you can't wait to leave. But church is transformation when you can't wait to come. Are you with me? Like, you wake up in the morning, you're like, man, I can't wait to get to church. Oh, you know, you understand transformation. But you're sitting here right now, you're like, when is it going to be done? The roast that I cut the end off is in the oven. Right? I want it to be transformation. And I believe it becomes transformation when we go from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. Listen to Matthew 7, 21 through 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, I didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Why? Because they were so focused on the external. They were so focused on, look at all the things we did for you. And Jesus is like, I didn't want you to do anything for me. I did it all. I did it on the cross. I did it through my life, death, burial, and resurrection. I don't want anything from you. You didn't have to do any of that. All I wanted was to know you. But too oftentimes, listen to me, we get so stuck into trying to do more and achieve more and do, look at me, God. And God's like, look, I saw you already. Here we're seeing this verse that it's not about what you can do for him. It's about the relationship that you have with him. And today you have the opportunity to see Easter become more than tradition. It becomes transformation when you go from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. And Paul had that encounter. Now, I'll be honest, as a pastor, sometimes it's easy for me to just get stuck in this thing of knowing about Jesus. But you know, I need to turn that off sometimes, but because for I'm a pastor, I'm a believer. I'm a Christ follower. And you know, there's some times when I'm like, I have to have something to say on Sunday morning. And people know me are like, you always have something to say. I'm like, I know, but it's not always good. And I can get so stuck on, okay, I gotta have something to say. I need to know something here. He says, Ben, you don't need to give them what you know. You need to give them the one you know. You don't need to present a bunch of content on a Sunday morning. You need to present Jesus on a Sunday morning. So easy for me sometimes, and I'm sure it is for you too, to like, I need more. He says, no, I just want a relationship with you. I just want to have a relationship with you. Easter becomes transformation rather than tradition when I go from knowing Jesus or going about Jesus to knowing Jesus. Number two, I just want to share this thought for you. Easter becomes transformation rather than tradition when I see an empty tomb, not just an empty cross. When I see an empty tomb, not just an empty cross. What do I mean by that? For me and my spiritual journey, I always seem to see the idea of my relationship with Jesus through the cross. And listen, that's not a bad thing. Man, we celebrate on Friday, Good Friday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus went to the cross, and man, he died for my sins, and because he went to that cross, man, my sins are forgiven, amen? Your sins are forgiven, it's a powerful thought. But listen to me, it's not just the fact that there's an empty cross, because here's the thing, Jesus died on that cross, but it was men who took him off the cross and put him in the tomb, but there was one that raised him from the grave, and that was his heavenly Father. Listen, man might have been able to bring him off the cross, but only one could raise him, and that was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God himself raised Jesus from the dead. And here's the power of that thought. He might have been on that cross for my sins and died for my sins, but he rose again for my salvation. He rose again that I would be not only forgiven of my sins on the cross, but he rose so that the power of sin and death no longer has any rule over my life. I am saved from it. I am set free from it. There is no bondage. There's only freedom and liberty and deliverance. You got to hear that today. You need to know that today. Listen, if you always see your relationship and man, this spiritual journey through the cross, man, the cross is powerful. But listen to me, the empty tomb is even more powerful. I'm going to share with you in just a minute. It's even more powerful. So powerful. Matter of fact, I mean, one of the greatest symbols of the Christian faith, and I've had one, and maybe some of you wearing one, is a little cross, right? You know what it needs to be? It needs to be an empty tomb. It's just a little harder to make, I think. Right? I mean, it's easy to, oh, there's a beautiful cross. And then it's just like, well, what is that around your neck? It's a tomb. What's that all about? Well, come and take a closer look. Like, it's empty. And I'm like, I know, that's the point. It's empty tomb. A little harder to market, probably. Right. But listen to what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He said, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Wow, think about that. He didn't say, if Christ didn't go to the cross. Now, obviously, there can't be a tomb and an empty tomb without a cross, but he didn't see. This is what he said. He said, listen, if Christ had not been raised, if he had not been resurrected, then our faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. And here's why he says that, because our sins are forgiven at the cross. But listen to me, when we understand that he rose again, it gives us permission to rise and have a whole new life in him. That now we can rise and say, you know what, my sins are forgiven, and that is an awesome thing. But not only that, I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to no longer walk in sin ever again. I never have to walk down that path. I never have to go down that road because he rose again from the grave. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Isn't that a powerful thought? The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus himself from the grave dwells in you and dwells in me, which means, man, we have the power to rise up and walk in victory. Listen, you need to hear that today. Because of the empty tomb, there is nothing right now. There is no temptation too great. There is no addiction too strong. Man, nothing has power over you because of our risen Savior. That you can be absolutely free today. And I believe so much in the power of counseling. I believe so much in 12-step. I believe in all of those things. But listen to me. You don't have to be in bondage to something else to find freedom in another area of your life. I believe so strongly that one encounter with the risen King, man, changes everything. Changes everything. I believe that Easter has the power, the ability to become transformation rather than tradition. Lastly, when my story has a was in it. When my story has a was in it. What do I mean by that? I love what Paul says. Paul says, you remember my former way of life. Remember what I used to be like. Matter of fact, you guys are talking about it. Hey, wait a second, that's the guy that used to persecute Christians. What in the world's happening? What's happening is there was a was in his life. And because of Easter, you and I can have a was in our life. Because of what today represents, you and I can have a big was. And listen to me, I'm telling you, man, this spiritual journey goes from tradition to transformation. All of a sudden we realize there's a was. I used to look like that. I used to be like that. I used to behave like that. I used to want to do that. I used to want to behave like that. Now here's the thing, because it's not about behavior modification, it's about inward transformation. Here's the thing, I talked to a great couple that responded in the first service, and man, so such a powerful moment. And she just shared with me, she's like, I want to be a better person. Yes, the reason you're saying you want to be a better person is because your heart's been transformed now. Literally sitting there, I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better person. I'm like, great, you don't have to try. You just got to start walking in it. But the fact that you want to be shows that there is a was in your life. You heard my wife up here a little bit ago doing this transition moment, and she talked about what her life was like before Jesus. Her life was drugs before Jesus. Her life was, she tried to take her life before Jesus. But then she met Jesus, and everything changed. And now there's a big was in her life. And here's the thing, man, my was is different. Totally different. I got saved at the age of 6. I didn't have to give up a life of, you know, doing drugs. Can you imagine 6-year-old? Still in cars. Here's the thing. All of our life was headed towards destruction and death without Jesus Christ. Whether the behavior was there or not has nothing to do with it. Until you meet Jesus. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof leads to death. But Jesus. But I met Jesus, and because I met Jesus even at the age of 6, all of a sudden there's a was in my life. I was headed that direction. I was living my own. I was heading there. I was doing. No. But because of Jesus, now life has absolutely transformed. Listen, it would have been easy for me to grow up in tradition. My dad was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. It would have been easy for me to grow up in tradition. There's a point in my life, just like in Paul's life, where all of a sudden something changed. The turnaround happened. I met Jesus, and it was no longer about tradition. It was about transformation. And the good news is that every day as you walk with Jesus is a moment of transformation, as a moment of change, as a moment where you go from glory to glory and faith to faith. God, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, we thank you for these moments. God, we could just dive into your word. God, and see, God, even in a letter that Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, we can see the Easter story at work. Do me a favor, just go and stand to your feet and close your eyes. Hallelujah. I just want to propose to you today, with every eye closed, you're here. You, by making one decision, can have this day be tradition or be transformation. I feel like there's some of you here, man, I know for me, and I'll just be honest, maybe I'm preaching this message just to me. Because it's so easy to get stuck in routine and so easy to get stuck in tradition and know when I need to gear up and get ready for a message on a Sunday. But maybe that's the way your spiritual journey looks like from time to time. And you just got to be there. You have to do this, and that's what I'm supposed to do. But I believe that today can be an absolute moment of transformation. Heart begins to change. Hallelujah. And it's based just on one decision, that you would say yes to him. That right now in this moment, you'd say yes to him. And you could look back and say, man, on April 21st, 2019, on that Easter Sunday, when I joined Canvas at that service, it was a turnaround moment for me. It was a moment of hope. It was a moment of me coming back. My story has a was now. My story has a was. That's what I want you to know. I want you to know that today your story can have a was. I walked in one way, but I walked out a different way. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, with every eye closed, you're in this place, and only you know where your relationship is at with Jesus right now. Some of you so far from him, and today is a call to come back. Some of you never even been introduced to him before. Today's that introduction. Meet the one who can transform everything in your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.